There was a priest one time who was teaching kids about the 23rd Psalm, and he explained to them of how a good shepherd Jesus was, and then he explained how priests are called to be shepherds after Jesus our Lord. And so he asked the kids there, he says, "So who is your shepherd?" And they said, "Jesus." And he said, "Well, then what does that make me?" And one little kid said, "You must be the sheepdog." So you can call me the sheepdog if you want, after the good shepherd of Jesus our Lord. And you know, shepherds in Jesus' day were at the bottom of the social status. They were at the bottom of the bottom because they were not ritually poor, pure, I should say, to be able to worship in the temple and different things like that. And they were poor monetarily as well. And it was also a very dangerous job, is that there were many thieves and also wild animals that they had to defend the sheep from. And so Jesus comes as our good shepherd, and he was just like them. He came in poverty, right, because his parents didn't even have the money to offer up a whole lamb for their sacrifice, just the two pigeons, right? And he also came in the midst of great danger, because he came to do battle with Satan and with death itself, which he defeated by the way of his cross. Saint Ephrem, speaking in the 300s, so 1700 years ago, spoke very beautifully about this. He said, "Death trampled our Lord underfoot, but Jesus used death as his high road to victory. His body was the weapon with which he defeated death." It was like his sword. His body was his sword. "And concealed within his body was his godness," his godhead, right, "with which he surprised the devil with all of his divinity. His body was his chariot, with which he invaded death's fortress and rescued its victims." All of those souls who had died before Jesus came, the ones that were righteous, they still couldn't get into heaven because heaven's gates were locked. But Jesus unlocked those gates and brought the righteous souls up through them. And Adam and Eve sinned because of a tree, right? Eating of the knowledge of good and evil. But Jesus, our Lord, died on a tree to reverse the curse, right? And this tree became the pathway to eternal life. Somebody said that only Jesus could build a bridge between heaven and earth with two pieces of wood. Only Jesus, the Good Shepherd, could do that. And that's what he did with the cross. And so you heard in our Bible readings today all the references to the shepherds, right? From Jeremiah, they had some bad shepherds that God had to get rid of them and to call shepherds that will look after the sheep. And so your job is to pray for me to be a good shepherd and not a bad shepherd, right? And my job is to pray as well, and to make sure that hopefully I am too following in the way of the Lord. In Psalm 23 today, it's the most famous psalm of all, "The Lord is my shepherd," right? And often used at funerals because it speaks about going through the valley of death and into eternal life, right? And it's 1 year in the life of a shepherd with his sheep. If you want to read a transforming book by Philip Keller, a shepherd looks at Psalm 23 and explains Psalm 23. It's one whole year in the life of a shepherd with his sheep as they go up to the mountains during the summertime and then back down lower during the wintertime. And our seminarian, Reed Bellingham, seminarian for the summer here, was just on a 5-6-7 day hiking leadership training trip in Utah. And they experienced a flock of sheep being driven by some Native American Indians on horses and three sheepdogs, and they were pushing these sheep up the mountain because that's what you do during the summertime when it's not freezing up on top of the mountain anymore, but it's a little bit cooler, and there's grass for them to be able to eat at the right heights, of course, and then later on they go back down for the winter time back into the valley. And so it's very real things that they experienced. And in the gospel today, Jesus' heart was moved because he saw the people as sheep without a shepherd. So he ministered to them. He taught them many things, it said. And in Ephesians 2 today, St. Paul talks about how he united the Jews and the Gentiles, how Jesus did through his cross. He brought Jew and Gentile together. There was a dividing wall in between the two of them, and Jesus was able to break it down with his cross and unite God's people who were always intended to be as one from the very beginning, from the time of Adam and Eve. But sin had split us apart. And so we too are called to that kind of unity and overcoming whatever divisions might be among us to be united in God's love. Pope Francis is fond of saying that the shepherd needs to have the smell of the sheep upon them. And so I hope to do that, being among you, going into your homes and getting to know you and being close to you. Indeed, the shepherds, they would even know, they would have nicknames for their sheep and so forth because of different physical characteristics that they had, or character traits even, if you can call it that. And the sheep knew the voice of their shepherd. So that different shepherds at nighttime could put a whole bunch of sheep in a corral, in a fold, and in the morning let them out, and the shepherd would call out, make their distinctive call, and the sheep would just split up and go exactly to their shepherd. They know the voice of their shepherd. And so we too need to know the voice of our shepherd, Jesus our Lord, through daily prayer. That's why he called the apostles aside. He said, come and pray. Come and rest a while. You've been doing a lot of things, so you need to have some quiet time in your life to be able to be in tune with the shepherd. So let's all take that daily prayer time in which we can get to know the voice of the Lord in our hearts, speaking through the peace that we will experience in our hearts. And of course, Sunday is coming to Mass to worship and praise him in the highest possible form that there is. So Pope Francis also... C.S. Lewis uses this quote about loving, and Pope Francis had talked about how we need to go out of ourselves and not be imploding within ourselves through selfishness, but to go out of ourselves through sharing love. And C.S. Lewis said this about love, that you're going to be vulnerable when you love, and you're going to have to be open to hurts, right? He said, to love at all is to be vulnerable. Love anything, and your heart will be wrung and possibly broken. If you want to make sure of keeping it intact, you must give it to no one, not to even an animal. Wrap it carefully round with hobbies and little luxuries and avoid all entanglements. Lock it up safe in the coffin of your selfishness. But in that casket, that coffin, safe, dark, motionless, airless, it will change. It will not be broken. It will become unbreakable, impenetrable, and irredeemable. To love is to be vulnerable. And so that's what Jesus calls us to do, to love in that kind of a way, where we become vulnerable and yet in which we become like Jesus himself, who died vulnerably on that cross. And so whether priest or married folk or single people or religious in the world, however, whatever our vocation is, we are called to this kind of love as well. The Curia of Ars said that the priest is the love of the heart of Jesus. So I hope and pray, and if you pray with me, that I can be like that for you in the years to come. Amen.